Oh my god, I can't understand again. I'm sorry. I told him to come in. That's my seal. Special Popeye keychain. Just before I came, I had Krishna Dharma and Chintamani down over at the house. We were talking Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And we just going over different questions, different points. What they do regularly, studying Shastra threadbare. It's very threadbare. And it's good. It's actually nice if it was done more. Because, in fact, we had one point that we came on whether, and Chintamani asked, was it possible for Maharaj Chitraketu to have 10 million wives? And how could he possibly know that they were all barren? It was physically impossible for him to find out. And I said, well, sometimes there are statements made either by acharyas or in shastra that are then later qualified or explained in some way. But unless, and there's a lot of space between us and Shukadeva Goswami, a lot of time, unless anyone along the way has sort of qualified that by saying, well, it wasn't really 10 million, it was just a lot of wives, then we need to accept the fact that whatever Srimad Bhagavatam says is verbatim. That was Srila Prabhupada's stance, that we don't qualify the statements of scripture unless they've already been qualified for us in some way by realized acharyas. And if it's 10 million, if it says 10 million wives, I made the point that in my reading other Puranas, there are other historical references of such kind of large, well, harem isn't a Sanskrit term, but many, many wives, many millions. And to know whether they were all barren or not, there may be some other historical reference, we don't know. They could have easily all been cursed to be barren, which all means you need to be present at one incidence, and that already establishes. Or by some kind of karmic reaction, that could have also been the case, in which case it was also, again, just enough for someone else to give that information that this is the situation. And so we try to actually reflect and accept actually the statements of great personalities like Shukadeva Goswami as they are, Srimad Bhagavatam as it is, because it's Krishna. And you can't make changes on the way Krishna looks. He is as he is. If someone else wants to make a sort of a change in his appearance, if sometimes, because Krishna gets dressed by different people, whether Yashoda dresses him, and the cowherd boys dress him, and the gopis dress him, and so they sometimes dress him differently. Then that's up to them, they can do that. So sometimes Krishna is Natavahara, he's dressed up as a dancer, and sometimes he's dressed up as a, as a cowherd boy, sometimes he's dressed as Cupid. But that's up to those who have actually the ability to do that. So we can't make changes, rather we need to sort of accept things as they are. And that's the beauty and the integrity, and actually it's the simplicity of Srila Prabhupada's faith and the tradition that he wanted us to believe in, this concept of actually having pure faith. Pure faith in the potency of chanting Hare Krishna, pure faith in service to spiritual master, pure faith in the statements of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, because that's the definition, shraddha vishvasya drida nischaya, that if I just believe in Krishna, and then everything else will be accomplished. Don't need anything else to augment my faith. Yesterday we were talking about Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev had sort of left the world. Why did Bhishma Dev need to really consider? In the 8th chapter, Krishna is explaining how different people leave the world at different times, according to what they think is auspicious. Bhishma Dev isn't a yogi. And yet there are others who are like yogi Mishra Bhaktas, who consider that pranayama, breathing exercises, certain types of auspicious things that are different types of meditation techniques will actually increase your Krishna consciousness or are favorable for developing bhakti. So they don't necessarily have the pure faith that bhakti is independent of any of these things, either karma or jnana. But Bhishma Dev waited until that time in order to actually encourage the faith of these type of people, because ultimately if they practice bhakti along with yoga, ultimately the bhakti will purify them and strengthen their faith. But Srila Prabhupada really discarded so many of the other different ideologies that come along with devotional service or even precede devotional service. So his whole explanation of Bhagavad Gita was always in the terms of bhakti, not in terms of anything else. And then when his disciples especially started coming in contact with Vedic culture, Indian culture, bhakti culture, and so many other types of things, they proposed many things that could help your Krishna consciousness, from astrology to rings to all kinds of many types of practices, and whereas actually they have their place in the overall Vedic picture, but Srila Prabhupada wanted to make a very strong point that if you just sarvadharma pratitya mani, if we have this exclusive faith in Krishna, and if you can catch a hold of that, then you'll achieve everything. Nothing else is really required other than that. And particularly, Prabhupada manifests that to us by our process of Nam Sankirtan. But if you just do this thing, if we chant Hare Krishna, then everything that you can achieve with all the other different types of spiritual activities, ritualistic activities, sacrificial activities, austerities, penances, you achieve everything and more just by chanting Hare Krishna. And more, because they don't give all of those things. And And why did Prabhupada emphasize? Well, one reason is because that is the process of anyabhilashita shrinyam. It's the process of pure devotional service. It's the only thing that actually really gives the result, which is Krishna. Krishna doesn't come in any other package or through any other means. But also because in Kali Yuga, balancing alternatives doesn't work very well. Generally, if there's an alternative, then it ends up becoming a distraction, or more than distraction, sometimes ends up becoming a deviation. And so Srila Prabhupada wanted us to just focus and be very clear on this very simple thing, that the hamtam sarva papebhyo, that if we depend on Krishna, Krishna will take care of us. Will he take care of us according to how we want? Not necessarily. But he'll take care of us according to how we need, what's good for us, and he knows what's good. He knows what's good for every individual one of us. And that's our conviction, that's our faith. Once we, there's this very beautiful verse, which I found is repeated elsewhere. Interestingly, that there are some shlokas that are repeated verbatim, sometimes in same scriptures, sometimes in different scriptures. In fact, I'm just going to deviate, if someone has to remember where I started out.